You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1.
I was a little concerned last night that you thought it was someone else texting you because I sent you a screenshot of the score of the football game, and then I got back a note, too bad O didn't lock in a pick, and I'm like, this guy thinks it's someone else.
No, that was an editing issue. I meant to say, too bad I didn't lock in the pick.
Oh. Yeah.
And I do feel like we need to review the tape. You know how I generally feel about review and stopping the play and looking back.
Yeah, it's live.
Locked in the Browns, and then you said, I want to talk to Marcellus first, and then you're like, okay. He said 31-27. You said, I like it. There was a 31 involved. The only problem was 27 wasn't.
I don't think I officially locked it in. I'm pretty sure I didn't, but I'll let it slide.
What do you mean you didn't?
I don't remember actually definitively saying, yes, I'm on the Browns. I was wavering.
You did twice yesterday. Twice.
Yeah, I said I was leaning towards the Browns.
They just played the clip coming in of you saying, okay, I'll lock in the Browns.
Then
Marcellus Wiley, you want to play the opening again?
I didn't hear that. I wasn't paying attention.
Do we have that?
Like, it was the first thing on this radio. We're live, you know?
Yeah, I know. I'm getting my headphones on, and I'm not listening. I don't care what they play out of the gate.
You're just a money tree over
This is my new Christmas tree.
Watch yourself, man. Yeah, that is
careful.
A Baker Mayfield
I agree. That's a Baker Mayfield.
Watch yourself. There's a lot of weeks left in
the season. I'm just going to keep adding to my Christmas tree until it's a big...
Well, you're getting tens next week.
You should go 0-11 coming up. Was he 4?
I honestly feel like
4-1 right now, right?
Yeah, I won week one.
Yeah, so 4-1. You're down 300.
Yeah, I'm 1-2 on my picks. What's killing me is he's 2-0. But his games were Browns-Jets. Jets, third-string quarterback.
Hang on a sec. Let me just hold you back. Let's hear this.
I'm getting +5 with the Browns. That screams the old backdoor cover.
Are you locking in the Browns
right
now?
No, I have not.
I have a smile on my face all night.
All right, fine. I'll take the Browns.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
I'm on Cleveland, +5.
Got a bad memory, baby.
Cleveland.
There was some wavering, though.
Depends on how you want to cut that up.
Right.
You could give the Patrick Laine, what's the...
Wrong conclusion.
The wrong conclusion.
And coercing...
Coercing the witness. Yes.
Right. Badgering the witness.
Yeah, badgering and coercion.
There was...
Coercion.
Badgering the gambler yesterday on the show.
Yeah.
And I don't appreciate that attitude. But yeah, it was ugly last night, man. Like, shout out to San Francisco. Like, they were dominant. I have not seen a team get blown out that bad since week one when Tennessee blew out the Browns.
Yeah.
Taking Miami out of it. Like, all the brutal teams in the league. Miami's awful. Cincinnati's terrible. The Jets are bad. But, like, legitimate quality teams.
Right.
I haven't seen a team get embarrassed like that thought they were, like,
How about
finally
the controversy
turning things around
at the beginning of the game? Handshake gate?
Yeah,
well,
what the hell is that?
Like, my initial reaction, for those of you not familiar with this, Richard Sherman, I'm not sure people even know that he plays in San Francisco anymore. Because I believe when he first got there, he blew out his knee. He's nowhere close to as effective as he was when he was an all-pro corner in Seattle.
Mouthpiece in Seattle.
But he was a great player. He backed it up.
Yeah.
He was a legit. He's going to the Hall of Fame, I believe, one day. Now, he had a pick last night on Baker. Obviously, we saw how that played out.
Yeah.
But... my initial reaction was, I'm not sure I trust Richard Sherman because he is a hero when there's a microphone around.
Exactly.
A hero.
Now, Baker's a hero.
He's the guy
too.
With the famous interview with Aaron Andrews after the Super Bowl. No, it wasn't the Super Bowl.
Title game, I believe, against San Fran, actually.
She was talking, and he's yelling and screaming over top of her.
That was against the Niners.
Yeah, about Crabtree.
Exactly. So I immediately was thinking, I'm not sure which one I'm going to trust here, because both of them are heroes.
But I think Mayfield runs on him. Like, I think he runs away. I don't know if there was, like, an opportunity for a handshake. Was there?
Okay, so this is the video that's come out, and we're going to play this. It all started with Richard Sherman speaking to a media member, NFL.com, after the game. So this was after they had laid a beating on Mayfield. Mayfield was awful last night. The Browns were terrible.
Yeah.
And here's what Richard Sherman had to say post-game. If we can get it up on TSN 4. We don't have it? Okay. So, anyway, I don't have it in front of me because I was banking on that. But
He
basically said Baker didn't shake his hand.
Yeah, I remember. Like, that's why it started trending.
Right. And said that it was you know, a college move, and you got to respect the game. And if you don't respect the game, it's going to come back to bite you, and it's going to hype us up. Sure enough, first drive of the game, second drive of the game, I believe, for the Browns. Sherman picks him off, and we all know how it all played out. So that was the understanding around the league, was that Mayfield never shook his hand, blew him off. Well, it turns out that he did shake his hand.
See, when I didn't see that. When they first got up.
When they first got there for the coin toss, Mayfield and Sherman shook hands.
Okay, because I'm seeing, you're right, like I'm seeing Mayfield run away, but when they first got there,
what the
hell is
he complaining about?
Being a hero, that's why. But both of those guys are heroes. That's what,
right.
Who's the bigger hero?
Well,
I still think Sherman is, because Sherman's been doing it for many years.
Right. Sherman is, and here's why Sherman, I believe, looks even worse on this. Because what he's talking about is, after the coin toss, a couple of the Browns started running back to their sideline, one of them being Mayfield.
Right.
A couple of the other guys stood around, and they did a second round of handshakes.
Right. That's not necessary in my mind.
Completely unnecessary.
I'm just looking at the video here on computer. There were handshakes, and then after the toss, Mayfield runs away.
Right.
What's the big deal? They already shook hands.
Apparently, according to Richard Sherman, NFL etiquette is two rounds of handshakes, which is ludicrous and stupid and ridiculous. So Sherman is the guy who pops off and lets the world know that Baker Mayfield is a clown and he's a college player and he's got no respect. Causes this big storm. The video comes out where Mayfield clearly is shaking hands with Sherman beforehand.
Right.
And then Pat McAfee, who is, you know, former punter, kicker in the league, a big media guy down in the States, started tweeting about it, like the video that people were sending in of Sherman and Mayfield blatantly shaking hands before the coin toss.
Right.
And then comes back, and Sherman jumps on that Twitter page with McAfee and writes, "So you don't see any difference in the way I shake everyone else's hand and the guy who stands back with the petty shake." So wasn't that he didn't get his
hand
shake?
He didn't even like the way he was shaking hands?
He didn't like the handshake.
Okay.
And then he goes on to say, quote, "It's not that big of a deal." Well, you made it a deal.
Yeah, you're the jackass who made it a big deal.
Don't pretend like it's not a big deal after you made it a big deal.
I will say, I don't like a guy with a, I don't know what you call it, like somebody who hands a dead fish over. The weak handshake? Is it weak, or how do you even?
Yeah, I don't know. A clammy handshake.
I don't even care less about a guy. Like, it's just, I don't think anything different. I don't even like shaking people's hands.
Well, nowadays it's pound. It's not even. People don't. They're germaphobes. They don't want to touch hands.
Well, yeah, but you can't control the way another person shakes hands. You know, if you're going to get so bent out of shape on the way someone shakes a hand, then you got real problems.
Richard
Hey,
Sherman,
you know what? He used it as motivation to pump himself up. End of story.
Before the game. Yeah. But don't bring it up after the game.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. Like, don't say he's a D-bag after the game.
Right.
It's over with. You already use it as fuel. You got your W. He even said, "We kicked them right in the ass." And that's what they did. And it's over with.
But let me guess. If they would have lost, if San Fran would have got rinsed, you think he's bringing it up?
No way. No
Absolutely
way.
That's no way. That's what I'm saying. He's a hero because he won, so he's popping off. Just how Baker Mayfield has been. Didn't see him at the mic popping off last night.
No, I think he's got to just shut his pie hole, man.
Exactly.
And
he won't.
Games.
He won't. I'm telling you, if they win next week, he'll be right back up there saying, "I don't want your love now, all you haters. I heard you. You guys are losers. I'm the man." He's incapable of being humble or quieting down. But I will say this about Mayfield. It's the easiest thing to do in the NFL right now is pile on him.
Right.
Like, he's so unlikable. He makes it so easy to take runs at him because he's cocky. He doesn't shut up.
Right.
He plays on a team that has had no success, so he has no right to believe that all of a sudden they're going to figure it out. But he doesn't have a lot of help. Like, that head coach, Freddie Kitchens, is a mess. Their offensive line is a mess. They couldn't stop the run game last night. He doesn't play defense.
Yeah.
Like, he was brutal last night, but Mayfield was not alone. Yeah. And if you're in Cleveland, what are you going to do, turn on him already? You've got to hope that he's the guy. You've been going through quarterbacks for 20 years.
Old Freddie Kitchens, boy.
Gum in the postgame. I guarantee you someone went up to him and said, "Don't ever chew gum up there again."
Yeah. What did he have to say? I didn't hear his postgame. Anything interesting?
He handled it pretty well. He took it on the chin. Said, "We got beat in every possible capacity of the game. We got to be better. I got to be better." What else are you going to say, man? He got embarrassed on Monday Night Football. Yeah. They got manhandled last night.
Jimmy G, man. Maybe the 49ers are for real. Jimmy Gorgeous, they're calling him in the morning show.
Could you imagine if
Jimmy Gorgeous?
Jimmy Gorgeous, Carlo, if he was and still... AK, and that intern that got cooking down there. Jimmy Gorgeous.
Okay. Well, at 4-0, man, you can call him whatever you want.
Could you imagine if he was still with the Pats?
He'd be Jimmy intern, basically. Yeah, he wouldn't be getting snaps.
He's Jimmy backup.
Yeah, he'd be Jimmy, who are you again?
But it's quite impressive that, you know, he rolled through the Pats and they pushed him out. Like, I mean, Brady, it sounds like, remember Brady... There was rumors that Brady was like, yeah, move this guy out of here.
Well, and I'd say they made the right call.
I think he's done that with the Tula, Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, Brissett,
like, look, I'm playing for 5 more years, so you might as well get rid of these guys.
Wait, won a Super Bowl last year. I think they made the right call.
They did make the right call. But
pretty sure Brady deserved that.
Every time the hype started picking up about the backup, he's like, get him out of here. I'm playing here for 5 more years.
Oh, Brady's no different than anyone else, man.
I'm pretty sure if they had a hot shot QB backup in New England this year, Same thing. Gone. I'm playing 3 more years.
None of these grizzled vet QBs, they don't want to see young guys sniffing around.
No. Yeah. Ben Roethlisberger said it the other night. He goes, I'm a guy, I'm his teammate, but I'm not his best friend or anything.
Yeah.
I want to see him do well. I'm hurt.
But when I come back, I'm playing.
That's right.
We all saw it, man. We all saw it. Montana and Young changed the game forever. And I'm sure there were examples before that. But that's Joe Montana. They're like, you got to leave. This guy's too good.
That's crazy.
And it was the right decision. No, Young won another Super Bowl and went to the Hall of Fame.
At some point, they were like, okay, Montana, you got to go.
Yeah. Favre and Rodgers, you've got to go. Yeah. Peyton Manning, it was like, you're coming off that injury. We just drafted Luck. You are out.
Wow.
It happens. So big Argos news today. Pinball Clemens taking over as the GM. Jim Popp, who used to come on the show pretty frequently. He was a good guy with us.
Yeah, very good
guy. Listen, he won a Grey Cup his first year on a gig, and we all know what's happened. I mean, it has gone,
south
for the Argos. They, like, watching that game this weekend, they gave up 55 to BC, and the Lions are brutal.
The Lions are, well, I mean, they're close to as bad as the Argos, and Ottawa, too. I was in Ottawa calling a game the other weekend,
Ottawa,
2 weekends ago.
The Red Blacks
and I met one
brutal.
Of the owners at the hotel. And he's like, yeah, I go, how are things going? He's like, we've lost twice to BC, who is supposed to be worse than us.
I think they've lost 6 or 7 in a row in Ottawa. That's how bad
it is.
It's
not good in Ottawa. It's not good in Toronto right now.
They could wheel back and win the Grey Cup next year.
Well, I mean, with Pinball now on the job, and he's going to be in studio in about 20 minutes. So
very likable person.
He's the most likable guy in Toronto. Like, it is unanimously accepted he is. But we got to ask him, like, are you fully committed to being
the GM? I was going to say, are you the figurehead guy? Are you like a president? Or are you going to be in the trenches here?
Right.
Player evaluation, player movement, player signings.
Yeah, you got
to. Or are you going to hire someone else to do that?
We'll find out.
That'll be my first question.
Okay, so Pinball in studio in about 20 minutes. The Leafs losing 3-2 last night. That was a good game.
Mm-hmm.
And I came out of it. Babcock keeps saying, I like our team. And you watched them last night. And, you know, St. Louis is who they are. They won the Cup. We knew that they were a good team. And they've always dummied the Leafs. Like, it just feels like the Leafs can never beat them.
Yeah, you're right. Like, now you think about it.
On the road and at home.
Yes,
it just feels like St. Louis always gets them. But watching the Leafs, and there were multiple times last night, their skill is pretty outrageous. Like, they are talented, man. Not that that's a surprise to anybody or an unknown fact, but I like the way they played last night.
I do, too, with a couple of critical errors in their own zone, and it's in their net. Well, whether you needed a save or not, it was... Yeah. Well, the one situation, that Shen goal, I don't know why Frédéric Gauthier's line was on the ice. I tried to point that out last night. There's a minute left. You're up 2-1 against the Cup champs. I don't know. And him and Trevor Moore and Mikhaev, that's a lot of inexperience on in the last minute of a game.
And both Moore and the GOAT.
When you've got two $11 million centermen that are supposed to be top dogs and getting the job done, I don't know why they're out there, but they ended up out there. I don't know the circumstance. There might have been a penalty or a power play. But they're out on the ice. I don't think that should happen in a big game like that. And they were costly, making an error there. And Shen was wide open and scored a goal.
Yeah.
And then the other one, Muzzin went the wrong way around the net, and Perron had a couple seconds, and Kapanen was staring at Perron, and it ends up in the back of their net. But other than that, it was a fantastic game. It could have gone either way.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, Binnington makes a save on Mikhaev with the right pad. Like, there was a couple...
He played well last night.
Yeah, I thought he played well. The one thing I will notice, and this is, I think this comes with championship pedigree. There was a time in the second period where St. Louis got hemmed in and the Leafs were working it around. They didn't panic. Most teams you'll watch, they'll take a penalty. They'll, you know, fire it over the glass by accident. They'll end up giving a goal. St. Louis just sucked in. Okay, go. You move the puck around. You're not going to get it to the net. It was about a 50-second shift. There was a line change on the fly.
You're right.
But you remember what I'm talking about.
I know
about.
Exactly what you're talking about. And I was thinking it. I'm like, they're going to get a power play or a goal here.
Right, because that's what happens for most teams when skill starts to get moving. But St. Louis was like, we're not going to panic here. We're gonna sort it out. And I think Binnington ended up having to make a save. But it was most teams that's in the back of the net are a penalty right away because you end up getting tired and you're reaching or, it ends up a quality chance. That was the difference, I thought, in maybe St. Louis now as opposed to 6 months ago where they were still learning to win and they learned to, like, in critical times, sort it out. And, you know, that comes with experience of going deep in the playoffs and learning not to panic when things are...
I think the goaltender helps more than anything else. I mean, I agree with you. Their disposition did not change.
That goalie for St. Louis.
Legit.
He's a real deal.
He
had a weird comment after the Garrett Sparks is his favorite Leaf goalie.
That's his boy, clearly.
Yeah, like him. He still has a lot to prove for me. A lot. Because, you know, it's easy to... half season and have lightning in a bottle. I think he's a talented goaltender. I think he's got a perfect demeanor. We had Jamie Rivers on yesterday when you had to go. I think Rivers nailed it saying he's got a really nice demeanor too for a goaltender. He's very calm and cool in the net. He's a skilled guy, but it's like when Matt Murray won it. You know, it was weird because Matt Murray came up late in the season and the team was really good. St. Louis is good, but they work really well.
Oh, he's got a road ahead of him, but as far as...
Oh, he played fantastic last night.
I mean, he came in and he helped win the team, win the Stanley Cup. Yeah. The first part of the road is pretty clear for him. He's on his way.
Well, and that's what ultimately changed last year. I mean...
They got saved.
They got going, and they got better, clearly, and Berube stepped in, and he must have changed the attitude, the mood, or whatever, but ultimately it comes down to goaltending.
Well, I mean, one thing,
what it is. If you don't have a goalie, you can't win games.
One thing you heard, too, last year is Berube came in, and it was accountability. He was putting guys in the stands, sitting people out. You know, like he flat out said, like, I'm going to tell you like it is, guys.
Yeah, and you want to play more, play better.
Yeah.
I thought it was impressive watching St. Louis when it became critical. They had the lead. They would close off in their own zone and eliminate the puck from the player. And they know how to get the job done. And obviously, a team that goes and wins the Stanley Cup, they know how to figure it out. But
yeah, they're a good team. We knew that, but I think from a Leaf perspective, the talent that is available was on display when they pulled the goalie last night too. Like I've noticed people pointing out that Nylander wasn't one of the six guys on the ice, and I don't think it's that difficult to figure out.
He's the best player on the ice the whole game. I'm having him on the ice. Sorry, I don't know what you think.
I hear you. I thought he was great last night, and that comes back to accountability. But who are you taking off?
What? Because Mitch Marner makes $11 million. He's got to be on the ice.
Marner off the ice?
Andreas Janssen's got to be on the ice.
Janssen's going to the front of the net. He doesn't even count. Like he's not. Janssen's not out there in the slot trying to set up one timers.
Bottom line, I don't care who you pull off the ice. I think when you're the best player on the ice for the game, maybe you got some mojo that night and you go on the ice. And I don't. Maybe you got to send a little message to somebody saying you're not on for this right now. What did John Tavares do last night to deserve to be on the ice?
Nothing. But he's not coming off in that situation.
And by the way, I'm sick of people talking about Kasperi Kapanen and saying they got to do something with this guy to get those other two guys got to play better.
Dude, I spent all day yesterday talking about it. It was evident again last night.
It's all you got to get rid of Kapanen off that line.
No. John Tavares has to be better. No. I mean, it's four games, but he hasn't been good enough. Like, he still hasn't scored a goal.
No, five on five. He's not doing anything.
No, and it's not Kapanen. That's not the issue. He's part of the line.
Yeah,
but
the line
saying is 6-on-5, you know this, it's like first power play units. You practice it all through a camp, all through a practice, and when you get there... Janssen doesn't count because he went to the front of the net. That could have been the GOAT. It could have been Mikheyev. Those guys are not a part of the program. They say, go screen the goalie and
jam away.
And jam away.
Yeah.
Matthews, Tavares, Marner, Riley, Berry. Those are the guys going on the ice.
Yeah.
And I listen, Nylander played great last night. You could certainly make a case that he should have been out there. I'm just saying from a big picture perspective, it actually highlights how much talent that they have, like game-breaker guys. The fact that he isn't a part of that program. And that was established in August when Babcock said, what are we doing 6-on-5?
Yeah,
Nylander is not one of those guys.
Well, if you're going to say that we have a game plan 6-on-5 and this is going to be our personnel and you're not basing it on any type of performance that evening, I think that's ridiculous.
They do that with the power play.
I don't know. William Nylander deserved to be on the ice and deserved to be rewarded for his effort last night. And when you got it going like that, why not? I don't
Babcock doesn't operate that way, though.
Okay, then I think that's an ignorant approach to what's going on.
I get both sides. You can see the argument, but it, you know, that's what is called in-game adjustments. Like, if a guy is going, get him out there. Like, you got to find ice time for him. That's what the coach does. Find ice time for him if you feel like that guy is the best player on the ice. That being said, if John Tavares and Mitch Marner aren't going, you got to find a way to get them some critical minutes, too, to maybe get them going. Like, I think there's a bigger picture at play here, too. So, you know, we are four games in. They've shown, you know, flashes of it. I didn't think Freddie had a great night. I didn't love the first goal. Second goal is Shen. He's moving. And then the third goal, you got to come side to side. There's a lot of coverage on that play. But, you know, if he's super sharp, he makes one of those two saves.
Right.
You know, I didn't. First goal was a bad goal. The other two, again, you want more. But he didn't lose them the game. Binnington made some big saves, and they didn't. And find the back of the net at critical times, and it's 2 points. It's not a big deal. You move on.
A big one Thursday night.
I was just going to say, and around the corner is another team
Tampa,
waiting for you.
And Tampa's saying the same thing. Like,
pissed.
We got to be much improved. We've got to prove that we can play a different style and, you know.
Yeah, they're saying all the lip service
things
all
the right
there.
Things. They're trying to inspire themselves.
I'll tell you what I'm concerned about. This Friday, are you doing the balloon thing?
Yes.
The win?
Yeah.
Well, you got to give me the numbers.
I know, but I honestly think, I remember you talking like week three, you're kind of a little bit rattled because you're like not a whole, it could be more.
No.
Like, I feel worse. And I'm honestly giving it an honest effort. Like,
you honestly,
I'm bringing food in, like I'm working out every day. I feel like I'm 15 over than when I weighed in a week and a half ago.
There's no way you would be 280.
If I weigh 280, I swear to God, I'm quitting this job, and why is it
TSN's fault that you're 280?
No, I'm just going to sit in a sauna for a month. What do you mean, why is it?
Well, why would you quit the job?
Because I'll be so devastated.
You'll be fine. I'm telling you, it's
going
to have it's going to be 2 and 5
no,
and change.
No, it's not. I'll take 3 pounds.
That's more realistic. I mean, it takes a while. The first 2 or 3 weeks is a mental grind because you feel like you're changing your lifestyle, but you do not see any result.
I feel like a moose at that point could drop 3 pounds. No?
Maybe. Maybe that's what we need.
You need some fiber in your life.
Right before you come
in. Exactly. You need some fiber in your life. Go and buy some Metamucil.
That's the move. Good. Life cereal every morning.
Yep.
Box of Life.
Shreddies.
Shreddies.
That's what I eat at night.
Shreddies and Life.
Black coffee and a bran muffin.
Yeah. All right. Pinball's coming in. Pinball Clemens. Yep. We love pinball, but now he's in the firing line now. He's the GM of the Argos. They've won 2 games. Their defense is historically bad.
Yeah.
And he's got a big job ahead of him. So we got to figure out, you know, exactly where he plans on taking this gig, why he took the gig, how it came about. So Pinball Clemens will be in studio next. All right, Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, will join us in about a half an hour. He was calling that Leaf game last night. Get back into that. Get back into Baker Mayfield versus the world. But some big news in Toronto today. The Argonauts, we know it's been a tough year for them, and they made a significant change to the front office. Jim Popp is out after a few years as the GM of the Argos, and a man that we would consider probably unanimously loved in Toronto.
Yeah.
I think one of the most famous people in Toronto,
right.
If not the.
I agree.
The most famous.
Yep.
Pinball Clemens in studio, the new GM of the Argos.
Well, popular doesn't necessarily equate to value, right? And so I accept that with a degree of humility.
Okay.
Yeah, so. There you go.
Yeah, last time we saw you, we were down at the Royal York.
Mm-hmm,
at
that's
the
right.
Special Olympics
that's right.
Gala,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's right.
That was a couple of years ago. I remember I had my knee brace on after the meniscus surgery. Remember me bombing around the Royal York?
Tough.
It's pretty embarrassing. But today, bittersweet day for you. We saw you at the press conference, and I mean, I'm sure you're excited for a new challenge, but you and Jim would go way back, and we all know where the club is right now.
Yeah, it's a bitter day. Just be honest. We can say, try to sugarcoat it. It's not bittersweet. It's a bitter day. You know, a guy who has been an icon in our league and has won multiple championships and has a brilliant win-loss record as a general manager and brought us a Grey Cup just two years ago is no longer with us. And compound that by him being a great friend and compound that with the team having a 2-12 record, right? So not a whole lot to be, for me, to be excited about. Now, you got to put on your big boy pants and tomorrow, right? I'll learn how to smile again. I'm pretty good at it. Not a whole lot of that right now.
So I'm sure people want to know, are you going to be in the trenches, or are you just going to be pinball the figurehead to kind of oversee things, or is it just straight to work and you're right in doing everything?
Doing everything is not a smart idea. Right. If you're the smartest guy in the room, it's your own fault. You know, part of being a leader is having the ability to hire guys that are smarter than you. We had, I guess it's the longest run of an Argos team going 500 or better in 5 or 6 decades. Right. And we did that because I hired people who were smarter than me around me right now. It doesn't mean you're not the smartest at something, but the idea here is to build bridges, not fences. It's not one thing. It is multiple things. Excellence, right, is layered. There are, you know, great teams don't just do one thing. They do multiple things well. And so we have to build this, right? Right now, we understand that this is a new starting point, and we have to embrace it.
Do you walk into the room and address the team, starting tomorrow? Have you done that already? Is it something that, like O just talked about, if you're in the trenches, where do you start?
Mm-hmm. We did that today before the announcement, right? You always try to say something, make an announcement to the team before you make it to the general public, right? So that happened today, and it's no good way to say it, right? So we are where we are, but we passionate about seeing a better tomorrow, though.
How do you find time to do this? I think you look at different figures in sports, whether it be a guy like Tim Tebow who wanted to take on baseball, but mm-hmm. he also had TV obligations. He had a whole bunch of different stuff going on. You're a very busy guy. You're all over the place doing different mm-hmm. stuff. Did your schedule have to get trimmed down quite a bit?
Well, the schedule had to be trimmed down a bit, but this is not a foreign place for me. And at one time I was the head coach, the general manager, the VP of football operations, and we were going through receivership. Right. And so my guys didn't know if they were going to get paid. Right. And I had to get them ready for the game and excited, not knowing what was going to happen there. Right. And do all of the other things that relate to that. So it's a place that I'm familiar with. Right. But it's not something I can do by myself. Right. And so there's that balance there where I am familiar with, the environment. Right. But we have to get people who are great at what they do. And we have some of those people already. We have to secure them and keep those people. And we're going to have to bring more on board and continue to build culture, energy and a winning attitude.
With Pinball Clemens in studio, who was announced as the new GM of the Argos, would you accept this job from any other team in the league?
No.
Only here in Toronto?
Only here in Toronto. And so this is not a job opportunity for me. It's a passion, right? We're just in a situation where it's tough, and they feel that I can do the job, given that, right? There's a part of me that owes. I mean, my Canada has been so good to me. I borrowed from another transplanted Canadian. I'm American by birth, but Canadian by choice. And I love it here. I love this country. I love the game. The game actually, I was drafted in the NFL, played there 1 year. I'm the little guy syndrome. I got to pull muscle and he's too little to play. And came here and got a nickname the first year, won the MVP
MLP,
the second year and a Grey Cup the third year. Had a chance to go back, but I felt that I owed the league, right? I mean, if I wouldn't have come here, I wouldn't have been playing. And there's still a little bit of that, and not too different from the first time that I became coach. When I was asked about this position, I said no, and I said no a couple of times. Then there came a point where Jim's position was no longer there, and we were out of the playoffs. And ultimately, that's when I made the decision to come on board.
How do you find a way to get some oomph back there down to get support watching the team play? Because in our business, everybody will come up to us and talk about sports. That's mm-hmm. all they want to do. And whenever, it's kind of like an older generation, mm-hmm. and they always say, back in the day, man, you could not get an Argos ticket. Mm-hmm. So that's come with just winning or?
Now I can get excited. And I'm not also excited because of all the things that are going, but I can get excited, right? And not only do I have to get excited, but we our players have to get excited. Our coaches have to get excited. Everything around us, our fans will get excited. They will in this city, right? It's proven they will support you, right, when you win. Yeah. And ultimately, you know, we talk about sport as being family and all of those other wonderful things, and there's a great deal of truth. Some of my greatest friends in life and most loyal friends in life are from sport. But having said that, right, this is not just a social. You got to win, right? And so winning is the antidote, if you will, to most of our ails, right? And doing that consistently. We've won the Grey Cup 6 times since I've been here in the last 30 years, and I guess it was 31 years between 2 victories, right, from 52 right. to 83. So we've won the Grey Cup 6 times. We've had enough success, but we've been up and down, right? That's the real challenge, right? So we hope to make to have some continuity, and that involves strength. That involves, and that strength really is developing a platform where you're strong in multiple places, right? You don't just have a strong group on the field or a strong staff, right? But it penetrates your entire organization.
Pinball Clemens in studio announced as the new GM of the Argos today. I never got the impression like Jim Popp felt it was his job or had any sense of obligation to concern himself with the image of the team, with the amount of people showing up at BMO, the amount of media coverage. Mark Trestman was famous for that. He wasn't going to get into it. Do you feel like that's a part of your job? I mean, as the GM of the team, historically, it's you got to put together a roster and go out there and win. But you're such a figurehead. You're so synonymous with the team. You've been here for 30 years. Surely you understand that the team is in a very different spot today than it was when you showed up in 89. Do you sense some sort of an obligation to kind of push for the fan base and get more people down there and more intrigue into the team if possible?
A big reason why I took this job is because of the fans. They've been better to me than I deserve, and so that's a big reason why I took this opportunity here. Speaking to people, I'm driving to Blue Mountain tonight, and I speak to a group tomorrow. Had that scheduled before this all happened, and so that's a whole lot easier than this gig, right? It pays well too. And the reason I the reason I'm here is because of our fans and what they mean, and so whatever that whatever it is, if it involves the Toronto Argonauts, it involved the Canadian Football League, I need to own it, right? In the position that I am, I own everything that there is. I do understand that I can't do everything, but I own it, right? So that means that, you know, we do need to do those things to strengthen the ball club. We do need to have the kind of players who will go out and embrace community, right? In addition to that, right? And so there are multiple things we have to do. So we're going to have to get better in more than one place. It won't happen overnight, but we're committed to the process.
Well, I think the majority of people that have watched your team all year, they look at the defense. It's been historically bad. You know, is that obviously that's a position of need? I mean, we're talking about every member of the defense, more or less. But you can't possibly turn over, you know, a full defense in one offseason.
That's why you have to build it.
So how do you go about doing that?
But you build it one at a time, right? So there are some players that are on that defense that are amazing players. They're great players and, you know, harder to identify with the struggles, right? There are some schemes and things that we're doing that are very smart, right, and make sense. And so there's not, you know, while it doesn't, you know, doesn't look the way we want it to look, we have to find what's good there first. It's a little bit like criticism, right? When someone criticizes you, it's very important first to find the good in the critique, right? Because a lot of times when people say something, there's some value there. And so we extract the value, right? And then move on and continue to build, right? So we first need to extract the value, right? And there is a lot of good there. So every one of those guys I care about, and I hope there's a future for all of them, not just on our team, but in our league, but we'll have to build and evaluate as we go.
You're such a friendly guy, outgoing, well-spoken. Is it going to be tough for you to make tough decisions that change people's lives?
I laugh because when I coach, they stopped letting me cut people because they said, you know, the GM said, by the time, you know, I get him over there, you've pumped him up so much that he's wondering why I cut him.
Yeah.
Right. I had to make these decisions at a very early age. Yeah. I became a head coach, you know, at 35 years old, right off the field. I won a championship before I was 40. So these kind of decisions are, people associate me with smiling and doing all of that all the time.
Right.
But people who know me know that I'm a man of principle. I'm very.
You're a football guy.
That's
the job, guy. Right?
That is. And we talk about commitment. My wife and I have been together for 35 years, married for 27 years. Got three beautiful daughters I love. And it does come down to those tangible things. So I am committed. Stuff does matter to me. I'm not good with everything. But I try to exercise a level of decorum as I voice that, and when necessary, every once in a while you have to just raise your voice.
Well, how does that apply to your head coach, who, you know, he's being asked today, does he feel like he's got security? I believe someone asked him, would he be okay with moving to defensive coordinator? He said no. He got 2 years left on his deal.
Mm-hmm.
What's your message to Corey?
I don't have a message for him. Anything that I tell him, I will tell directly to him. This idea is to build bridges, not fences, and we shouldn't transact. I've gotten a chance to know him a whole lot better than I did, and just spent some real quality time with him. There'll be a time, to speak with Corey, and we will do that directly with him. And if he chooses to share the conversations we have. I know he's a pretty private guy too, but he's a quality person, and he's a quality coach. That's why he's here. Things obviously have not gone the way he's designed, and we will have to assess that, but we'll do that with Corey.
Well, we wish you nothing but success. We always appreciate you finding time for us and coming in studio, and It's a tough gig. I think, obviously, you're aware of that. But you're going to take it head on. You've been down this road many times before in your career. So I think there's a lot of excitement in Toronto, even though, as you said, it's more of a bitter day than, mm-hmm. than maybe a sweet day. But best of luck moving forward, and thank you for this.
Thank you, Hayes. I do appreciate it. And I have to tell you guys, it's great to be on with you.
I do
enjoy you immensely.
If you had to choose a captain, who would it be?
Like, if you the leader of this group, who do you think it would be? Like, just pick one of us.
Yeah, you know, I have to say that I would choose Hayes.
Oh, get out of the studio. Come on. Well, you got work to do, Pinball.
That's a man of integrity. Yeah. That's a leader over there.
We're not asking anyone else.
That's unanimously beloved in the city.
Well, so are you.
Yes, well, yes.
John Tavares chose him the other day as well.
Evidently. So, yeah, the captain.
So, you know, part of that, guys, is, you know, the guys who are got the engines going, right? Yeah.
Are you talking about him?
No, hold on. You didn't hear me. You got to listen. See, the guys who have the engine going, you don't have to give the C.
Yeah. Ooh. Just support staff.
There you
very
go.
Good.
Okay?
All right.
So I need to get him going a little bit. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to That's tell you, baby. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Thank you, Pinball. Yes. Appreciate it. Good seeing you. There he is, Pinball.
You meant you're a fraud. Right.
Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, in about 10 minutes. This is getting embarrassing now.
Yeah.
Like, I got to stop. Like, I put an A on my jersey. I don't want the captaincy anymore. I'm going to start getting...
People just give it to you because they know that you never made it to the big leagues, and you're just the guy that owned a casino in his dorm, in his basement. And you need something to pump your tires.
A successful casino.
These are two accounts. Like two prominent athletes in the city. Yeah. John Tavares last week after he was announced as the new captain. And now Pinball Clemens, one of the truly beloved members of
athletes,
society. Forget athlete, just person.
Yep.
Everyone loves pinball.
Yeah.
And you, who asked him the question?
I did, and I feel like I put him on the spot.
Okay, so you asked him, who's the captain of this team? A show that he loves, a show that he's been on multiple times. Apparently he listens and watches all the time.
Yeah.
So he's well-versed. He knows what's up. Here's what Pinball had to say.
You know, I have to say that I would choose Hayes.
Oh, get out of the studio. Come on.
The cap.
Yeah.
Captain Morgan.
Nothing wrong with that.
You're, yep. You're a so good there leader. You go. Feeling good about that.
Got a good start today, first hour.
Yeah, it's not. It's actually been pretty good.
Pinball's got some work ahead of him.
Oh, he's got some work.
That's, you know, that's an understatement.
Right. But he said, like, he went from playing 1 week to coaching the next. Yeah. And this isn't his first rodeo. He's been down this road before. But, you know, two wins. Their team's not very good. They need a quarterback. They need a completely revamped defense. I don't think the coach is going to stick around.
Yeah.
There's a lot of work
some
here
work to be done
with the Argos. Ray Ferraro in the next hour. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.